It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
All right, I'm in my car. I'm driving home from this wonderful night in Queens, a very hot night in Queens, game one of the Subway Series. And let me just start off by saying this, all right? I'm going to start off by just being very honest with everybody. We're like a family, right? We're like a effing family, the Rico family. I will talk about this game. I will talk about what happened. I'll talk about my experience at the game. We'll break everything down. But I am a goddamn human being. And as a human being, as I sit in traffic getting out of Citi Field, I am sick to my effing stomach, okay? I didn't see it coming. I didn't feel it coming. I didn't think there was any chance it could happen. And after Aaron Judge hit that grand slam home run, I'm just an innocent guy. I'm just on my phone checking how my wife is doing, checking if Pete Hoffman sent me the link, because I knew, hey, let me click on the link, and we could do the Rico as soon as I sit in the car. And when I see the bullshit that I saw, I was mortified. That was the worst 25 minutes of my life waiting for this goddamn game to end. Because, look, I'm not going to make this a basketball podcast, but I am going to rant for 5 minutes. You can't trade Mikal Bridges, the only thing worth a damn on this roster, to the goddamn Knicks. You can't do it. Their picks are going to be freaking worthless because they're good. Congratulations. You're good. We suck. And now our rebuild is reliant on the Knicks sucking, which they're not going to do. So, look, I'm not anti-trading Mikal Bridges. I think the Nets needed to pick a lane with this franchise and pick a lane with this roster. But to send them to the Knicks for these garbage, I'm sorry, they're garbage picks. And I'm not insulting you. You're good. That's why your picks suck. And to get back once a Net, always a Net, Bojan Bogdanovic, we can't even get a good young good. We can't get Deuce in this deal. We can't even get that. We just get your treasure trove of crap draft picks. And now I have to live in a world. You think the Nets were irrelevant 10 minutes ago. I got to live in a world in which that phony, and he is a goddamn phony, Mikal Bridges. He is the opposite of a leader. You saw it. You could tell. I called this out a few months ago. He's a follower. He's a Nick because he got bullied by Josh Hart. That's why he's a Nick. I got bullied. Oh, it made me feel bad about myself. If you have balls and you're a leader and you think you're as good as you are, you lead this team to something other than the garbage 37-35 wins they had last year. Less than that. I think it was less than that. So I'm mortified. That'd be the word. You know, because, and then here's the other thing. First of all, to every single person I know, I don't need your goddamn update. Like, you're the one sending me the text to tell me Mikal Bridges is going to the Knicks. Trust me, I think I found out at some point. So to every goddamn person who wasted their time sending me a text, oh, look what happened. Shut up. Enjoy it with your Knicks fan friends. I mean, I could list off the names. Yeah, how you doing? I could list off the names of the douches. Yeah, what's up? How's it going?
Just give me at least a knuckle tap.
I'll give you a knuckle tap.
Thanks, Evan. I will see you guys all the time.
We appreciate it.
My construction job, you, Tiki. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
But you're the best.
How the hell did I end up seeing you, which is amazing?
I'm stuck in traffic.
Have a good one.
Have a good one, man. All right. I'm a good guy, right? Look at me. I put on a good goddamn face for that guy. Yankee fan. Put a good face on for him. So first of all, stop sending me text messages. That's number one. And then number two, the section I'm in, I don't need an update from you. Every goddamn person in that seat. Evan, you hear what? I heard what happened. We all have phones. We live in this technological world now where I know what happened. What a goddamn night this is. So, look, I'll get to the Mets. All right, I did watch a baseball game. I did score a baseball game. But you cannot blame me, okay? You cannot blame me for being just a little petrified and mortified and disgusted and shell-shocked and whatever freaking term you want to use to describe what I just witnessed. And look, at some point, I'll put together more coherent thoughts about the future of that pathetic peasant franchise that I happen to root for. But right now, I'm living in a horrible world. And I am living in a world in which this morning or this afternoon, I see Donovan Mitchell at Citi Field, and I'm like, ooh, let me recruit him. And then I find out that Mikal Bridges, who is an absolute gutless follower, decided to tell the Nets, I'm sad. I don't want to play here because I got bullied by Josh Hart. Go F yourself. I say this to Mikal Bridges. I don't say this to Knicks fans because, like, I got no issue with you. God bless you. I wish you the best. Though I hope you suck because I have your picks. So now you can't blame me for hoping you suck. But what a freaking night. So the last two innings of this baseball game is the Mets were trying to protect a 9-7 lead. I'm sitting there looking at my dad saying, I can't believe it, bro. I can't believe it. Then I find out they made another trade. They're swapping picks with the Rockets. My head freaking hurts. I got everybody in 319. I was one section over tonight saying, Evan, did you hear what happened? Evan, then I'm walking down the ramp, and I got to hear these two freaks basically breaking down OG Anunoby and Isaiah Hartenstein, and should we re-sign him, and what picks do we have left? I hate this world. And I know it's your world, trust me. I understand that most people listening, I don't know who the hell's listening right now. I get it. It's your world, man. It's your world. I'm just a peasant living in your world, and I understand that. I know my place in the world. Okay? I do. But this sucks. This royally sucks. Now, I've gotten that off my chest. I feel cleansed. I don't feel cleansed. I feel like a piece of shit right now. But let's talk about this baseball game.
It's the Don't amazing do that. Rico
Don't
Bonilla
do that.
Podcast.
Don't play the freaking intro.
With your host, Evan Roberts.
Are you playing the intro? You're screwing with me, Pete. Tell me you're screwing with me.
It was me. Yes.
All right. All right, that's fine. Touche. I appreciate that. All right, let me dust myself off. You got to understand why this is painful. All right, you understand that. I ain't a one-trick fan. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Nets fan. I'm a Jet fan. And sometimes they bleed over. And let's just – this is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'll get to the game. If I ever wrote a My Mets Bible 2, this game would be in that book. Because if somebody read My Mets Bible – there is one random Mets game that features the John lottery because of how it deeply affected me as a Net fan. So sometimes there is crossover, and yes, it would be crossover, but let me get to the game. Number one, boy, this offense, man. This offense is clicking on such a – I apologize. There's an ambulance behind me, and I have to figure out, like the ambulance isn't going fast. So can I just keep driving since he's not going to pass me, or do I pull over no matter what? You know what? I don't know what to do. Like, this is kind of like a predicament. What are you supposed to do?
Because how far away are you?
It's about 50 feet away. I'm pulling over. No one else is, but I'm the guy. Let me watch him pull over. The ambulance. I don't know if you can see those blaring lights if you're watching on YouTube, but yeah. No, everybody else is driving because I don't know the rules on that because I'm going much faster than the ambulance, but I also want to give them their proper, you know, way to move. Anyhow, was I going to get to the game? Oh, yeah, I was going to get to the game. So that top of the first inning, I mean, let's start right there. And I know for Yankee fans, that must have been hell. When you get, you know, first pitch of the game, Anthony Volpe single, you get Juan Soto drawing a walk, you get Aaron Judge drawing a walk. I think, and I'm trying to make sure I don't get the innings confused on this, but Juan Soto tried to lay down a 3-0 bunt in that first inning. It was definitely the first inning because there was a pitch clock violation that was called on Peterson's second pitch of the game or non-pitch of the game. And I don't think Juan Soto realized because when he was bunting, I think he thought it was 2-0. And it wasn't a fake bunt because he tried to get it down and it went down foul, if memory serves correct. Let me tell you this right now. Juan Soto, you're a great baseball player. You have done a lot of damage to me as a Met fan. Yankee fans love you. We're going to dream about you, I'm sure, signing you as a free agent. If you ever try that bullshit on my baseball team, I don't give a damn how good you are. I don't give a damn how much money you make. We are going to rip you a new ass. You do not bunt on 3-0. And by the way, if you thought it was 2-0, which you did, you don't bunt on 2-0. Like, what are you doing, bro? I know you love to get on base, and we love you getting on base. Yankee fans do. Maybe someday Met fans will do. You cannot, I repeat, not bunt on 2-0 or 3-0. But give David Peterson a lot of credit, man, because bases loaded nobody out. I thought we were in a lot of trouble. You know what I really thought we were in trouble? You know, striking out Gleyber Torres, getting Alex Verdugo out, that wasn't the shock. But when J.D. Davis comes up in his first at-bat with the New York Yankees and the bases are loaded with two out and you just saw Peterson fight to get those two outs and now he's got a chance to get through the first inning not allowing a run, I had bases clearing double, you know, pictured in my brain. But great job by David Peterson. And look, it wasn't the most amazing performance by David. He got a big hand. You know, you get knocked out in the fifth inning. You throw 103 pitches in four and a third innings. I can't say you were great. But look, he held the Yankee bats down. And I think the Mets strategy, not that you're necessarily pitching around Soto and Judge in the first inning, but I think we saw in this game the Yankees' biggest issue and the way the Mets have to attack it. You cannot let Juan Soto and Aaron Judge beat you. And when Aaron Judge did beat us later in the game, think about it. It made it 9-7. It turned a 9-3 game into a 9-7 game. But the bats, man, that's the story. And the way they beat the crap out of Gerrit Cole today. Gerrit Cole had zero strikeouts in this game and allowed four home runs. You could look that crap up on Baseball Reference. I cannot imagine that Gerrit Cole, even Pittsburgh Gerrit Cole, has had a performance quite like that. And yes, he's working his way back from the layoff and injury, but major credit to the Met offense. Major credit to Francisco Lindor, who starts the game off with a double. And even though J.D. Martinez grounded into that double play, the Mets had great at-bats. Francisco Alvarez had an couple of outstanding at-bats against Gerrit Cole. I don't know why they were sending the runner on the Tyrone Taylor base hit, but at least they were able to get a run in that first inning and not do what the Yankees did, which would end up with nothing. Mark Vientos is a freaking beast. Two home runs. The second one, that line drive to right field was Piazza-like. That's how cool that was. But Vientos continues to be on an absolute rampage. One minor critique, and I think you saw this in the first inning, even though Tyrone Taylor got the base hit, I prefer my better hitters hitting higher in the order. So next time, with whoever's playing right field, maybe you flip-flop Vientos and Taylor. And I know that you don't want to stack too many crappy bats at the bottom of your order, but you also want to give your best hitters RBI chances. And so when Taylor came up, it should have been Vientos. And look, I'm not saying it plays out the same way. Who knows? But that's one thing for the future. The Met bats continue to be just so impressive over the last month. I mean, really, and it's top to bottom. You know, everybody got a hit in this game outside of Pete Alonso, who had the sacrifice fly. You've got Harrison Bader hitting an absolute P-missile against his former team. Yeah, Brandon Nimmo ripping one out. We mentioned Vientos hit his second home run. Look, I mean, this offense is clicking right now. I think the concern we saw, and we saw the thing that can bring this team down, and maybe it happens over the next 10 days, hopefully not, with one more against the Yankees, three against Houston, four against Washington. When you take Edwin Diaz out of this bullpen, it changes everything. It really does. And you do not have that many arms you can truly trust. Dednell Nunez was great. He comes into a tricky spot, throws the one pitch, gets the J.D. Davis double play. Nunez was fine outside of the error he made. But Adam Ottavino is untrustable. You know, Adam Ottavino has been very streaky. He got off to a great start. He struggled. He had a good couple of good performances in a row. This was a horse crap performance. And he's not in your circle of trust. And look, Reed Garrett gives up the grand slam to Aaron Judge on an 0-2 pitch. But to Reed Garrett's credit, he gives up the home run. He gets the next four guys out. And when you're up 9-3, not that you're okay giving up a grand slam, but look, it's not the end of the world. But when you only get, and this is where the problem starts. The problem starts with four innings out of your starter. Like David Peterson, how would I grade his performance? Like, it was okay. It was fine. I mean, he showed a lot of balls in the first inning, like we talked about. He worked his way out of trouble. He walked a lot of guys. He hit two batters. It was not, you know, prime stuff, but he showed balls and he was able to battle out of it. And for that, you know, give him credit, but you're handing the ball to the bullpen in the fifth inning. And that is going to be an even more difficult challenge for this team when, A, you're playing with a 25-man roster, which means you're playing with a 7-man bullpen instead of an 8-man bullpen, and you're doing it without your closer. Think about how different this game is managed if you have Edwin Diaz available to pitch the ninth inning or available to get key outs in the eighth inning. You know, everybody's moved up a notch, so maybe you don't see Adam Ottavino in this game. Now, granted, Adam Ottavino comes in this game, it's freaking 9-2. You know, 9-3. You're thinking to yourself, you're not going to implode, are you? it was 9-2. So from that standpoint, maybe the bullpen isn't managed differently, because if you're Mendy, you're thinking to yourself, I could just steal a couple of outs. What will benefit the Mets is the fact they have the off day on Thursday. So even though they had to use a lot of their bullpen in a game that they shouldn't have had to have when you're up 9-1, at least they know, hey, if I got to use Reed Garrett on a back-to-back day, I can. They have an off day on Thursday. But that is going to be the challenge when they start to play every single day. And as much as we as Met fans love that they're going to play every single day, let me in, you stupid bastard. All right, thank you very much. Sometimes you got to force it. You know, you can't just wait for someone to let you in. You got to stick that back of your ass, that car, into whatever lane you want. I am a New York driver. You may not like it, but that's the only way to survive in this town. Okay, you can't be a Mikal Bridges kind of driver. You know, that's a follower. That's someone who gets bullied. That's someone who's a little, oh, I'm scared. Let me join my big friends. That's what he is. Okay, that's the kind of driver that doesn't just push their ass into wherever they want. And that's what I did, because now I'm getting on the Whitestone Bridge, and I'm going home. And I am not going to sleep tonight. I'm thrilled this team won. I'm thrilled we're a game under 500. It's what we call one of those mixed emotions kind of nights. One of those a little all over the place kind of night. Also, Ben Gamel, like, really? That's where we got to go here? They call up the former Yankee, the left-hand hitting outfielder, Ben Gamel, the veteran. We had Mendy on the show. I recommend you listen to it. It's on the podcast, Evan and Tiki, so listen to that whenever. And I asked him about McNeil playing right field, but specifically about Beatty. And it doesn't feel, based on his answer, that they are anywhere near comfortable having Brett Beatty play second base. Look, I think right now, and Jeff McNeil did have two hits in this game, so that's a positive sign, raising his batting average to, what, like 219? But I really think their best avenue is Jeff McNeil in right field and Jose Iglesias at second base. It has your defense improved at second. Not that McNeil's bad, but Iglesias is also hit. Look, and Keith Hernandez said it, and it's true. He's a career 280 hitter. He is not a terrible offensive player. And you let Jeff McNeil continue to try to figure this out. Here's one of the positives of the Mets continuing to win and score a lot of runs. It makes it a little bit easier to throw Jeff McNeil out there every day. And when he gets two hits, like he did in this game, you know, you try to talk yourself into, all right, maybe he's going to get it going. Maybe Jeff McNeil's going to get hot. Probably not. But right now you can live with it because everybody's hot. Because this Met offense is clicking. And to pound Gerrit Cole like this, and keep this in mind, Met fans, they have beaten some very good pitchers. You know, you look at Javier Assad on Sunday night. Check out his numbers before the Mets faced him. You look at Shota Imanaga on Friday afternoon. We all know his numbers before the Mets faced him. You go back to Dylan Cease last Sunday against San Diego. Look at his numbers. And look, Gerrit Cole, again, I get it. It's his second start back. He's on a strict pitch count. Gerrit Cole's not always been the fastest starter as well. But nevertheless, this Met offense is beating the crap out of good pitching. And they're doing it on a nightly basis. They'll get a chance to do it against Luis Gil in a bounce-back spot. But right now, as a Met fan, it is very difficult to not be giddy. It is very difficult to not be excited about the way this team is playing. And sure, beating the Yankees is extra fun. I'll be the first to tell you. I started to get the congrats on your World Series. I got that in the sixth inning. That was earlier than normal. Usually I don't get that till I'm walking out of the building. But I got that a little early from the Yankee fan. Congrats on your World Series. Look, here's the deal to the Yankee fans listening, and I doubt there's any Yankee fan listening, because why would you listen after you got your asses kicked by a little brother? Here's the deal. This is not our World Series, but they are a test, because despite the Yankee struggles, the Yankees are a good team. And the other reason it's a test, and you guys may not buy this, but I've always bought this, I think that when you have a full house and you got 45,000 people in your building, and let's say 35% of them are Yankee fans, or whatever that number was today, there's pressure. You know, as much as J.D. Martinez may say, all these games are the same, well, they're not, because there's 18,000 people here for when you're playing the Marlins. There's 45,000 people for when you're playing the Yankees. And while they may count the same, or they may count even a little bit less, as I pointed out, when you look at some of the National League rivals, when you got a packed building and you got a playoff atmosphere, you know, you're facing the heat. You're facing the pressure. I remember after the combined no-hitter a couple years ago, one of my biggest takeaways, and I forget if we were doing the Rico at that point or if I was just giving Met reactions on the Evan Roberts podcast, that I still do it once in a while, but it was impressive that Edwin Diaz, who had, you know, so far struggled in big spots at that point as a Met, came in what I thought was a big spot. You're trying to protect a no-hitter. You've got an electric crowd. You feel the energy. And he made it look so easy. And I thought that was encouraging. So any fear, and I still have it, of, all right, let's see what this team does when the pressure is on. Well, they have faced, to me, on a smaller scale, back-to-back pressurized games. A huge rubber game against the Chicago Cubs with the tiebreaker on the line, the swing, a chance to get to two games under 500. Whatever, series on the line. To me, that's a big game. And now the Subway Series, which, big crowd, a lot of energy. You're facing Gerrit Cole, big game. And the Mets have responded. So the New York Mets continue to slowly but surely make us believe. And I leave you on this note. To the New York Mets, and I'll get to the Jets at some point on this, but to the New York Mets, I need you, okay? My balls got cut off tonight, okay? Not only did my balls get cut off tonight, they got shoved down my throat, and it happened in front of an entire section of Mets Yankee Nick fans. So what I need from my baseball team more than ever before is win, and win a lot. And win more than any of us could imagine. And make 2024 the year that no one saw coming. Because, dear God, as a 40-year-old man who just saw my 7-year-old nephew win a Stanley Cup in his fandom, and who just saw, like, the public execution of my franchise in front of everybody, while the head of that franchise now belongs to my most hated rival, to the New York Mets, dear God, do I need you. With that said, I'm done. I've given you everything I got on this Tuesday night because I got nothing left. But I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday at 2 o'clock on WFAN, and I have never looked less forward to a radio show than the one that we have to do tomorrow. But please listen. We'll be live from the Cadillac Club one more time. Thank you for listening and laughing or just pitying this edition of Rico Bronya. I hate my sports life. Goodbye. I'm going to exit. I don't care if Pete says no or not. I'm going home.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.